pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
It is not just that we say that we are thankful ultimately to God because He created all of this, but we are thankful to God because He's providential. Even when we're thanking other people, which we should thank anybody and everybody we can, but even when we're thanking people, we're thanking them because of God's providence that brought them into our life.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in a special Thanksgiving series. I just want to thank you, Jesus, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. And we do wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's special Thanksgiving teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Psalm 136 is probably one of those psalms, like so many, that were probably used in the worship life of Israel. It is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. And so you'll see the refrain that is worded in the English Standard Version. The refrain is, "For His steadfast love endures forever." Would you say that with me? "For His steadfast love endures forever." So I'll read the text, but you read out that refrain each time with me. Let's just say it together, like we're remembering how it would have been maybe chanted or sung in the life of Israel. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever." Some of you guys are going, the psalm is going on forever. Are we going to really say this over and over and over again? That's part of the teaching. That's part of the message of it, is that everything that you say of the goodness of God is a cause for inward celebration of gratitude. It is the Christian's giant secret pathway to abundant living. I went to a mainline sort of liberal seminary, and it was challenging because some of the professors, they believed it was their responsibility to tear down the overly simplistic, pietistic faith of some of the evangelical students. And I remember the day. I remember where I was sitting. I remember the words coming out of the professor's mouth, because it was a tough day for me when one of my theology professors was belittling the simple piety of a personal relationship with Jesus and the way that we talk. And he said, I'm referring to the ones that go around saying, I just want to thank you, Jesus. And I was bothered by that, because I am one of the ones that says, I just want to thank you, Jesus. And I know what he was trying to communicate. He was trying to move us towards a more sophisticated way of speaking. It was okay to speak of gratitude to the Christ, or to bring praises to the Most High God. But the I just want to thank you, Jesus, just sounded a little too simple, and it bothered me that day. And here I am 25 years later now, titling this message in honor of that day. The title of today's message, I just want to thank you, Jesus. I'm concerned sometimes that our young people are not getting the full history of what Thanksgiving is all about. It's about a lot more than eating turkey and watching football. We know something about the original Thanksgiving celebration of grateful pilgrims for the provisions of God. It's lesser known, all the proclamations for Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving proclamation issued was by the Revolutionary Continental Congress on November 1, 1777. It was authored by Samuel Adams. It was one sentence of 360 words, which read in part, for as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, together with the penitent confession of their sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplications that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance. It is therefore recommended to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one heart and one voice the good people may express the grateful feeling of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, acknowledging with gratitude their obligations to Him for benefits received, to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, Samuel Adams was saying, I just want to thank you, Jesus. And George Washington, not much later, in 1789, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. You would have a great time just going and Googling all the presidential proclamations over the years. They continue to this very day. Abraham Lincoln, 1863, in a nation that was in turmoil, issued the proclamation, the year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. to these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those that are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. It's interesting just to peruse through these proclamations, and I thought it was a beautiful proclamation in 1961. John F. Kennedy, who began with the quote of the scriptures, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." I hope it's dawning on someone that to say the word thanksgiving means that you're giving thanks, and therefore, by its definition, you're giving thanks to someone.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Before God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, He blessed them. Before God called Abraham to father a nation, He blessed him. Before God released His Son into ministry, He blessed him. Why? Because blessing is God's secret strategy to empower you to be all He made you to be. When others affirm you, most of the time it's because you've proven your worth. Maybe you did well on a test, accomplished a goal, or proved yourself competent. Such affirmation is nice, but it's not the way of God. God's strategy is to declare your worth before you have done anything to prove it. In the kingdom of God, blessing is the fuel for your productivity, not the reward for it. Maybe you need your heart to be healed from old wounds caused by others withholding their blessing, or maybe you're ready to shatter that invisible ceiling that keeps you from soaring. Either way, Pastor Alan writes, the power of blessing will change your life. Change how you interact with others as you discover the ancient skill of the Hebrew patriarchs as they bless their children. Learn how to tune your heart to accept blessing and reject curse. Most of all, drink in the unquenchable blessing of God in Jesus Christ. Get motivated God's way with Alan Wright's 7-message CD album, The Power of Blessing. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
It has been said that the atheist's darkest hour is to be really grateful and have no one to thank. I always love that quote, and so I decided to search around a little bit and wound up reading a blog of an atheist who was responding to that quote. And he said in his blog, "Religious theists, and especially Christians, often seem to be giving public thanks to their God for one thing or another." And I would stop here if I were to respond and say, we don't seem to be giving thanks, we are giving thanks. Perhaps it is thus understandable that they would have trouble imagining that irreligious atheists who don't believe in any gods would have anyone to thank. The truth is, though, we do. It's just that we can thank the people who are directly responsible for whatever good fortune we are thankful for. We don't ignore them in favor of an irrelevant imaginary being. Perhaps the most obvious humans to whom we might give thanks to would be the farmers responsible for providing us with the food we eat. And then he goes on in the next paragraph and talks about, and more commonly forgotten, probably the doctors and researchers that are responsible for modern medicine. And he goes on also to thank those in the scientific fields who've been instrumental in improving what the farmers can grow, what the doctors can treat, and what the engineers can build. And the whole time I'm just kind of smiling at this article, this blog, because I just, after reading about we should be thankful to the farmers, I wanted to just wholeheartedly agree. We should all find a farmer and thank them. We should all find a doctor and thank them. We should be thankful to these people. But I just had this one question, and that is, if we thank the farmers for the food, who do the farmers thank? You know my favorite joke. I know I tell it all the time. But you know about the scientist who said, God, we don't need you anymore. We've learned how to do everything. And God said, all right, but before, you know, I turn it over to you, could we maybe have a contest just to make sure? And the scientist says, well, that'd be great. And God says, well, why don't we have a man-making contest? And the scientist said, that's great. We've learned the human genome. We know how to clone. We know how to, you know, and so God reached down and said, I'll go first. He reached down and grabbed some dirt, and he formed it into a man, and he blew a living spirit into the man. And the scientist reached down to grab some dirt, and God interrupted him and said, oh, go get your own dirt. Go get your own dirt. That's my favorite right there, because my question is not whether we should be thankful to the farmer. My question is, who does the farmer thank for the seed and for the soil and for the sun and for the rain? Somebody's got to tell us where all this came from. And the secret of the Christian is that we've had a revelation of who God is and all of his goodness. It is not just that we say that we are thankful ultimately to God because he created all of this, but we are thankful to God because he's providential, even when we're thanking other people, which we should thank anybody and everybody we can. But even when we're thanking people, we're thanking them because of God's providence that brought them into our life. You ever hear about the lady that she'd go out in her front porch in the morning and she'd pray out loud to God? And she had an atheist neighbor who was bothered by all her praying. And one day he heard the woman out in her front porch and she said, Lord, she said, I need some food. She said, I'm out of food. And the neighbor, the atheist, he heard it and decided he was going to play a trick on her. So he snuck out to the grocery store and he got a couple bags of groceries and he snuck up and put them on her front porch. So when she came out later on and she hollered out, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me this food. And he popped out from behind the bushes and he said, aha, he said, Jesus didn't bring those groceries for you. I brought them, I bought them, and I put them up there. And she said, thank you, Jesus, all the more. Not only did you bring me some food, but you made the devil pay for it. When you get really grateful, you see beyond what other people see, and you get grateful for something that's much deeper. The grace that accompanies a grateful heart is the secret power. There is a relationship between grace and gratitude. Gratitude, we're learning, even in the secular arena, people are learning it's good for you. Researchers from the School of Psychology at the University of Manchester in England have shown that gratitude appears to be the strongest link to health and happiness of any character trait. Researchers, Martin Seligman, Robert Emmons, Michael McCulloch, amongst some of them, turn their attention to the study of gratitude and its relationship to health and mental well-being. And according to one University of Massachusetts article, these conclusions have been found by science. People who keep gratitude journals on a weekly basis have been found to exercise more regularly, have fewer physical symptoms, feel better about their lives as a whole, and feel more optimistic about their upcoming week as compared to those who keep journals recording the stressors or neutral events of their lives. You tend to be rehearsing in your mind one or the other. Daily discussion of gratitude results in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, energy, and sleep duration and quality. Grateful people report lower levels of depression and stress, although they do not deny or ignore the negative aspects of life. There's another finding that people who think about, talk about, or write about gratitude daily are more likely to report having helped someone with a personal problem or offered emotional support to another person. Those with a disposition towards gratitude are found to place less importance on material goods, and they're more generous. And there's also emerging research that suggests that daily gratitude practices may have some preventative benefits in warding off coronary artery disease. We're finding out that from science, gratitude makes a big difference, but this is not new information. The ancient words of the psalm tell the tale that as you give thanks to the Lord and you praise His name, you are doing that for which you've been ordained to do. God has ordained for you to give Him praise. He's ordained it and made us to run on gratitude. And therefore, the more revelation we have of the grace of God, the more grateful we will be. God wants you to have a revelation of His love for you. He wants you to know how much He loves you. He wants you to know how much He's done for you. And He wants you to know how much He cares about every detail of your life. And the more that you see this grace of God, the more grateful you will become. There's a very beautiful text in 2 Corinthians 4 where Paul shows us this connection between grace and gratitude. I'll read only this one verse at 15 of 2 Corinthians 4. It is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This process, he says in verse 15, of grace at work within us increases thanksgiving. And what's so beautiful about this is that the words are of the same root. Grace is the word in Greek, charis. And the word for thanksgiving in that same verse is eucharistion. That the Eucharist is the thanksgiving, and at its core is charis. You meaning good or that which is well. And so the Eucharist, which is one of the names for communion, one of the names for Lord's Supper, the Eucharist means literally the thanksgiving. And at the root, what I'm saying of the word thanksgiving is grace. Because unless you discover the deep riches of the grace of God, your heart will never know true gratitude.
Alan Wright. In today's teaching, I just want to thank you, Jesus. It's a special Thanksgiving message, and Alan's in the studio back here in a moment with additional insight on this for your life, this holiday, and our final word.
Pastor Alan Wright's Power of Blessing will change your life. When you make a gift this month, we'll send you the Power of Blessing as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. And when you give, you'll not only be nourishing your own soul, but you'll help broadcast the good news to someone else. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Alan, on Thanksgiving, of course, believers, we have God that we can thank. And I think oftentimes of the atheist. I think oftentimes of those that are not believers. On days like today, when we set aside to really focus and say, you know, it's Thanksgiving. It's a season together with our families to be thankful. If you're not believing, who are you thankful to? How can we, if we're dealing with family that maybe are unbelievers, how can we use this holiday? How can we use Thanksgiving as a way to point to God?
Well, I think the number one thing, Daniel, really is to let our own lives reflect the strength and joy that comes from living with a thankful attitude. We don't probably pause to think about that enough, that a big part of the witness of the Christian life is just simply the joy of having a glad heart that feels thankful. When a person has no one to thank, or a person hasn't cultivated a life of thanksgiving, there's so much joy that's missed out on. And I think that's the first thing that I would say, is just let your own gratitude be evident. And I think that it's contagious. So at the very least, a person who has no real belief in the Lord, that person is going to be jealous for the opportunity to really be able to show gratitude, and how much a life that cultivates daily gratitude is just a life well lived. I think people will long for that.
Thanks for listening today. Visit us online at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching delivered right to your email inbox free. Find out more about these and other resources at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.